This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director with Julie Klinger, Festival Director of the coming up next month. I want to make sure everybody gets it on their calendar. The Lifelight Concert, which annual are we at now?
Oh, this is the 17th festival.
Well, we've been with you every year on that. And, the Jazz Fest is free. Lifelight is free. And they're both two of the biggest live concerts in the country.
Yes, they are. They're both doing really well. Attract a lot of people to this area.
Soup Balls is alive with the Sound of Music, I guess is kind of the old reference if you want to go back to the old movie. There's something about the Lifelight that has a life of its own. You've been a volunteer, you say, way back in the beginning.
Yeah, I was with Ellen and Vicki at the very beginning as a volunteer and did that for about 10 years. And then in 2007, came on staff as the festival director. So it's been great.
Did you know that Ellen kind of got the idea when he went to, Raindrops Falling on My Head, Billy?
Mexico.
Billy Thomas?
B.J. Thomas.
B.J.
Yeah.
Thomas, yes. that's where he proposed, I think, to his wife or something like that.
Yeah. I know
and
they
been,
were.
They've been together ever since.
Yeah.
So it is really a lifelong passion for Al and his wife, and it is a community that I want to bring up the community because there's so many people involved. Really, that you've got quite a few volunteers that work on Labor Day weekend.
Right. We need about 1,000 volunteers. So, we're still in need of a lot. for anybody listening, please help.
I had
help.
So much fun watching the guy directing traffic one year.
He was out
there just having so much fun directing traffic. Yep. And that's what I mean. People are happy and have a good time, and no matter how you feel. But you can bring your friend with you for the music, and yet there's more than the music.
Oh, sure. There's a great message behind the music. That's why we do this, and that's why we've done it for the last 17 years. We have a lot of amazing stories that come out of this festival. Heartbreaking things, broken families, broken marriages, kids that are thinking about suicide, kids that are cutting, people addicted to pornography, all sorts of stories that we hear at the festival, and people find hope there, and they found the love of Christ and the love of others around them, and they can be prayed with and they can be counseled and helped. So a lot of really amazing stories over the 17 years that we have been doing this.
Well, I try to get in a little bit early and not just wait just before the concert, but we want to talk about things now because can people still get camping sites? Are they available?
Yeah, actually, we do have a few water electric sites left, about 10 or 20, I think, is all. They're kind of about out, but plenty of dry camping. And also, you can register to be in a generated camping area if we happen to be sold out of water electric by the time you register. There's a generator camping area for those RVs that have their own generators. And then we have the Sold Out Village, which is a youth group campground as well. So like four different campgrounds in one.
Well, we had the Jazz Fest on last Sunday and we talked about, how Sioux Falls had changed in the last 17, 20 years. And music is really, we've become a center now. People say, how can you put on 300,000 people on our Labor Day weekend in a cornfield.
Right.
In Worthing, South Dakota. They scratch their head and say, how do you do this?
Well, we believe it's just a movement of God that people come because of over the past years. He's just moved on their hearts to come. But also, I believe people just really need good quality family entertainment. They need a place to go with their families. We have so many family reunions and different events that happen at the event that we don't even know about sometimes until afterwards. But we get emails of families coming out with 50 to 100 different family members. They move their family reunions there because it's inexpensive. They can camp there. And they have a great time. They put these big tarps out in the main stage field and their family has a flag. Everybody's kind of gotten into identifying their spots in the main stage field with all these creative flags, which is super awesome and we love it. We really have a lot of, we've had people get married there before. I mean, it seems to just attract a lot of people that really want good quality events for their entire family because we'll have kids, babies there and we'll have people in their 90s attend all of the way. It's multi-generational. And sometimes it's really funny because I'll be over at the sold out stage, which is our youth kind of rock stage. And, you'll see older people over there just rocking out and they're just enjoying it just as much as the kids do, which is it just warms my heart to see that kind of stuff because they're being there for their grandkids and they, they're just enjoying it. And that's what it's really about is to see people come together like that.
Yeah, rock and roll is one thing that doesn't seem to age.
No, it doesn't. But
you have the Christian rock and roll. I mean, tell us now, let's get down to some of the bands and some of the things, because these are in Christian music, which is huge in the industry now. Right. Christian music is one of the main areas where artists can really have a career and have a family and make a business out of it.
Right. And Christian music has grown so much, especially since we started this 17 years ago. The quality of it just continues to increase and increase. And it is, I believe, as good as any other type of music out there, if not better in many cases. But some of the bands we have out there actually what we call crossover bands, where they're Christian bands, but they're also popular in the mainstream world. Like Skillet, who was our headliner Saturday night. Red is another band who's our headliner on Sunday night on the sold out stage. Red Jumpsuit Apparatus is another one that a lot of the kids will know from mainstream music that will be out there on Sunday night on the sold out stage. So we have some of those bands that we try to just appeal to people who don't know Christian music that might come out and check it out. And they realize, wow, this music is really good and it's got good lyrics and it's fun and just as good as anything else I'm listening to. So that's kind of one thing we like to do, is just bring in some of those bands that people might not know that aren't necessarily familiar with Christian music. But if you are a Christian music fan, we have it piled up this year, because we have Michael W. Smith coming. We have Colton Dixon, actually was on American Idol a few seasons back. He's going to be there. Big Daddy Weave is a popular Christian band. Sanctus Real. For King and Country is my new favorite up-and-coming Christian band. They're actually headlining on Friday night on the main stage. The Afters and Huck Nelson, Rhett Walker Band. I think he was there last year, and he's kind of a country music sort of style, a little bit bluegrass kind of country music. Loving the Outcome, which is a newer band out there. Remedy Drive, a favorite for years and years. They're from Lincoln, Nebraska, and they're good friends of ours, and we keep trying to bring them out. And then a few other bands. There's a couple local bands, Tin Man Revival. We've got some church bands coming out there. And also Rochelle Hope, who's a local band. So we've tried to do some local bands as well as the national bands that are coming in from Nashville. So lots of stages.
Julie Klinger, Festival Director of Lifelight, coming up on Labor Day weekend. People can, camp out or they can just come out for an afternoon or whichever they want to do. Some people ride bicycles out there. You can do that from Sioux Falls. Worthing isn't that far.
It's about 10 miles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just straight out on Minnesota, straight down. And then you can't miss it from there, because it's just a half mile off of Minnesota, what turns into Highway 115, I think if I'm right. Instead of turning towards Worthing, you just turn towards the farm. Or you're parked kind of in the north area, either way. So
just look in the sky, you see some dust clouds or sometimes great big balloons.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes we have those out there too. So usually big Lifelight flag on the top of the big silo out there on the farm. So it's really fun to see that landmark and see people drawn to it. So
you mentioned the family flags. That's really a great deal. The city is designing a flag now. Finally, we're finally getting one.
Uh-huh.
But a family flag is a pretty big deal. But that, what can you do to get your grandparents and your kids together and everything like that? But good music. Now, good food, too. You've got a lot of vendors.
Yeah, we have a lot of food vendors out there, just about every kind of food and junk and healthy that you can think of. So we have it all. We have a lot of really cool new features, if it's okay if I talk about that a little bit. We kind of called this year reset year, because we did change quite a bit about the festival. We're doing kind of better bands with a little bit less kind of stuff going on, so that people can enjoy these bands and move from stage to stage and not feel like they're missing something, we still have 6 stages, including the skate park. But we're trying to kind of alternate some things and have people have the ability to get to like the Triple Shot stage in the morning for praise and worship, and then maybe hop over to the sold out stage and check out the Flow Action Sports Park with all the skate shows and the BMX shows. But the new addition this year, I'm really excited about, because I was painting out there all day yesterday, but we remodeled our 360 barn building. It was kind of, we called it 360 because we just did all sorts of music there. And we're still kind of doing that, but we remodeled it and we're actually building a coffee shop. So just imagine a local coffee shop in a barn at the festival with full service espresso machines. And we're really going all out to remodel that area. And the stage will be kind of more art displays, art demonstrations, and acoustic music, and some We're going to do some human trafficking stuff on there so people can learn things as well. Just a good variety, but it's going to be definitely more laid back. We're not going to have the hardcore screamo bands in there this year. It's going to just be all acoustic and arts and just slam poetry, spoken word kind of stuff on that stage. And then they can have a great cup of coffee. And upstairs is a loft area where we have an art gallery. So local artists are out there displaying their work. So it's sort of become our artsy kind of coffee sort of cool vibe building that we're so excited about this year.
50 years ago, they would have called it Beatnik, you know,
yeah.
Coffee house. But music, you know, is, well, it was then and it is now. There's some things you can't put into words that seems to come across with music.
Right.
Or you can only say in music.
Right. And it's just, it moves on your heart and then you're open to other things and hearing what other people maybe have to say to you about things when your heart is moved from a song. So music is a very, very powerful message. That's, I believe, what we do, why we do what we do.
Well, Julie Klinger, Festival Director, Lifelight, coming up on Labor Day weekend. Now, Al is in Chicago now.
Right.
He's writing a book about Lifelight. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I have the draft on my desk, and I have yet to read it. They asked me to read it quick because I've been there with them since the beginning, but it's going to be the entire story of Lifelight from beginning until now, and hopefully we'll keep going for many, many years to come. But there have been so, like I talked earlier, there's been so many miracles and miraculous stories that have come out of what God has done at this festival that we just felt like we needed to have Ellen put it all in writing, and who better to tell it than the person who God gave the original vision to. So Ellen is writing that, and it should be ready by the festival.
Well, he's working hard on it, I know.
He is, yes.
Julie, a lot of the churches have their church Sunday services. They have it right out there at their...
It's always been a really cool, unique thing that actually nobody else does in this country. So I'm so proud of the unity of the community of Sioux Falls and surrounding communities where they'll transfer their later service out there. We are starting at noon this year just so more churches can participate in transferring their later service out or just continue to have their services and encouraging their folks to come out for the noon service. We were at 11 before, but we decided to push it back to noon this year so that more churches can participate. But even so, still have so many churches that do come out there. It's been one of the most unique things about our festival, other than it being this huge, large free event. It has been, that's been one of the cool, very special, unique things about it is that church service.
Well, I've been with Alan, like I say, since the beginning, as you have, in quite a few years. Well, see, I think you were at Wild Water West for a while.
Yes. Yeah. We started at a church, at Good News Reformed Church, mm-hmm. and then we went over to the fairgrounds, and then to Wild Water West. And we kept on growing all these places all the time, and then now we're at the farm in Worthing, the Peterson Family Farm, and I don't think we'll outgrow this one because the Petersons are very generous and they've got plenty of land out there. So we're good. We haven't even used all of the land we could use. So we're good to go for many, many years.
Well, over the 3-day period, they say about 300,000 people. And really, I haven't heard of any bad traffic problems. I think they try to increase the cell phone traffic antennas out there. They do all kinds of, so that you can still, you know, do your selfies, you know.
Yes.
But that's just it. You know, people will be listening to a band and text their friends in Sioux Falls or Yankton or all over, and people come just because people are their friends are having such a good time.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing that you just touched on is how important it is to invite your friends and your family who haven't been there before. This is an amazing event just to have that unity and time together. And like I said, it's across generations, so you can invite just about anybody and know they're going to hear good quality music and a great positive message.
You can sit there and be peaceful and just have a great time with the music and the great food and be a people watcher. Because, like I say, you've got all generations of all types of everything. From how many different states? I know people have come all the way from, all around different countries.
Yeah, you know, and this year, we'll hopefully have better information on that because we are going to a ticket process this year where one of our main goals is finally to maybe fund this festival before it starts instead of hoping to have people donate at the festival for it as much. So we are going to a donated type ticket, or you can still get it at no cost, whatever works for you. So if you aren't able to afford to donate, then it's on us, and go ahead and print your tickets. And that will give us a little bit better understanding. But from the years that I've done some demographics just from registrants, we've hit 46, 47 states just about every year of people that just come here from all over the United States and Canada. We've had people from Japan and, I don't know, just other countries, which is amazing to me that they would travel all this way for this festival. I still am in awe every year when I see it. It's hard to believe that they do, but they do. They have heard about it, and they love the meaning behind it, and so they come and they support it.
And you've supported through Lifelight, I know, trips to Ethiopia, Pakistan,
right.
Mexico.
Yes, Guatemala, Haiti. Yes.
And Ethiopia, I think they're doing something there again this year.
We just did something last November, and then this next upcoming February here in 2015, we're going to Guatemala. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that a little bit more at the festival so people
Lifelight
can get involved.
Is really, it's not just in Worthing, South Dakota. It's all over.
Right. It's all over. We have a little Missouri festival that we help with. We kind of helped start up in Des Moines this year. We're trying to help other festivals start up and partner with them to do that and show them a free model so they kind of know how to do that in their community. And then we do the tours. We do a 12-city tour or 10-city tour, depending upon what happens. That's in the spring. And then we also do, yeah, obviously, the festival and then the mission trips. We do one or two a year where we go to a country for 7 to 10 days, and we might do a little festival there, and then we do outreach and do a lot of different things. And we will be opening up our Guatemala trip soon so people can look online for it. And if they want to go, we would love to have people join us.
Well, you put on all these bands, you bring in all this top-name entertainment in the Christian world. And then you jump off a cliff, basically, and,
you're right.
And somehow by next year, everything's been paid for, and now this year you got kind of a pay it forward
right.
with the ticket type of
We're
thing.
We're trying to do that, kind of be proactive instead of reactive,
yes.
Like, oh gosh, please still help us, we're not paid for yet. We're trying to do that by letting people just get involved now. Just, you know, or just suggesting $5 a ticket. You know, most festivals would charge $100 for this ticket, but if everybody could just help out with $5, that would go a long way when you're adding up the numbers of people that we have come out there.
You mentioned the coffee shop. I know that's, was it Sue and Mike had a coffee shop out there back in the early days?
Yes, yep.
And that's because people stay up all night long.
Oh, yeah, they love to, yeah. And the coffee shop will be open late. I don't know about all night, but that stage area is open till 1 o'clock in the morning, so, and it'll be open early. So the coffee shop people work a lot.
A lot of young people.
Huh?
A lot of young people.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of young people, a lot of youth groups, and just different young people that will kind of come out there and find their way out there.
Well, Julie, in Christian, when you mentioned the programs with human trafficking that you're going to be doing some awareness
right.
of out there,
mm-hmm.
What are some of the main things that the church are trying to, when there's a need, the church has always seemed to be doing something there.
Right.
But what are the main needs that you see in the family right now with young people in that?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I think the biggest testimonies we have are cutting and suicide and addiction to pornography and drug and alcohol addiction. Those are the five, if I can just off the top of my head, things. And then broken families. It's really hard on kids, and they need people to talk to. And I'm not blaming parents. Life is life, and these things happen. But kids are hurting from that. And I think sometimes they might get lost in the shuffle sometimes, and they just need people to talk to, and they find people there, and they find hope there. And that's what's really rewarding, is because, you know, if you can take a kid who's really headed down a bad path, and you can bring him the hope and the love of Jesus and just new friends that are positive in his life, he's probably not going to continue down a negative path and go, you know, do self-harm or commit a crime or get addicted and be in a treatment facility. So helping kids now before it gets bad and helping them turn their lives around is so important. And we're just like a catalyst. We're just like at the starting point for that. But we can get them help beyond that festival, and they can connect with people who can continue to communicate with them. We've just seen some amazing things happen with kids. They're so awesome.
Julie Klinger, Festival Director, Lifelight, coming up on Labor Day weekend. The Chamber of Commerce bulletin I was just showing, it's basically on the front cover. It's you know, the Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce news brochure, and it says the City of Festivals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got We just had Jazz Fest. We've got the German Fest. We have the Irish Festival. We have so many things going on. But now the Lifelight Christian Festival is something that if people, like you say, if they want to volunteer, what are some of the things you need them to volunteer for?
A lot of things. Like you mentioned earlier, parking lots seems to be, for the some reason, it seems to be one of the hardest things to get people to volunteer for, but yet can be a super fun experience, especially if you do it in a group. And we love it if organizations could put together 10 or more people. They can wear their organization t-shirts out there and, you know, just work together as a group. It's a great volunteer opportunity for anybody. I don't think we hardly have any people signed up yet for the parking lot. So I would say that would be my number one. But obviously we have lots of other needs too. We sell artist products. We have volunteer areas. We have garbage. We have, you know, all sorts of different things that are available, children's areas and activities. And I think they're looking for some volunteers too. So if you're gifted in kids, working with kids, we can use you. So there are just, you know, so many things that people can do and to be a part of it. Families together can do things like just greeting people at an entrance gate and that kind of thing, which is kind of fun to have families do. So there's information booths and different places that we need to plug in people to.
Well, if there's a young person listening that is or considering cutting or suicide or just depressed or having a problem as just being a teenager, everybody has to go through. They can come out and find people that dress just like them,
yep,
talk just like them, and talk the language, and probably understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, we have a lot of really great other parachurch ministries partnering with us this year. First Priority is helping run the sold-out prayer tent, and I think Crew Campus used to be Campus Crusade for Christ, and bringing some people out. And we have Pulse Ministries up from Minneapolis that's coming down. So we have a lot of different ministries that are used to working with youth that are out there. We also have a street team of people that just kind of walk around and help people out. And then we also have some counseling services available and Dawson McAllister's hotline to tell people about if they really need a place to call immediately and if they need help beyond what we're able to give them at that moment. If they're really in crisis, we can get them that help when they're there.
Some even minister on a skateboard.
Absolutely. You know what? We have a lot of amazing things that happen at the skate park, and that really does draw the street kids. Mm-hmm. They love to come out there. If you've ever been to the Sioux Falls skate parks, they're really hopping, and those kids are out there a lot. And we also have BMX shows and different types of entertainment over there. So we all open basketball courts, and so the kids love to go to the skate park. And the Kaleidoscope Kids area also has like a dodgeball and volleyball field over there. So we've got a couple different places that have sporting areas out there.
Well, it's 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You have Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday. Yeah, okay. Jazz Fest is Thursday.
Yeah.
Saturday, and yours is Friday, Saturday, Sunday because you have a church service on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then more music. And I suppose you could use volunteers to clean up after that.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part is because we have a lot of people that show up the week of and help set up, and we can always use more, don't get me wrong. But it's like when the festival's over, everybody decides, oh, it's time to go home. And we're all out there trying to tear this big city. It's really the city of Sioux Falls. When you think about it, if you have over 100,000 people on one area at one time, that's almost as large as the city of Sioux Falls, all kind of there. So you can imagine the work that it takes not only to set it up, but also to tear it down and get everything back to where it's supposed to be. We have amazing volunteers and volunteer leaders that really take good leadership over tearing down their areas, but they need a lot of help. Not to mention, even Christians leave garbage on the ground. So even though we ask them to pick it up, just combing the field so that the Peterson farm looks better than when we started, we really want to honor the family and clean up and make sure that it looks really good for them when we're done.
Well, you add something new each year. You know, you build, and you've got the electrical outlets. Now you got a bigger stage is what you're putting in right now, more permanent stage?
We do have a permanent stage at the sold-out stage. We still bring in the main stage because that thing is really big. And I don't know, you know, if we'd ever build one out there. Maybe. Who knows what God will do with that. And with Kaleidoscope stage is permanent. And then this year we're actually making the triple shot stage permanent as well, which is kind of more of our praise and worship stage. We're moving that into a building, and the 360 stage is in a building as well. So just about every stage except the main stage is permanent at this point.
We'll run down some of the main names because I'm sure, you know, Michael W. Smith.
Right.
People of all ages know that name. He's been in business for
You know, he was one of the first artists. My friend Jolene, a long time ago, took me to Sunshine Festival up in Willmar, Minnesota, which I'm going to go to again just for kind of next weekend. I'm going to go check that out because I haven't been there for a while and got some friends up there. But I didn't know Christian music at all. I'm one of the people that I'm asking to come to the festival. I was one of those people. I just listened to mainstream music, which was fine. I didn't have any idea there was Christian music. And she said to me once, "Why don't you, let's go to this festival. Why don't you come to this with me?" And I didn't know anything about it. And we went out there and Michael W. Smith was there and I was hooked. He was one of the first artists, him and the Newsboys, were the first two Christian artists that really drew me to Christian music. And then I was hooked and I realized, wow, this is different music that is amazing and has a great message. And then we started getting more and more Christian radio stations here. And it was just great. So there's lots of ways that you can continue to listen to it year round. So,
and if somebody has a church band, next year they can sign up and maybe perform out there too. You got local
bands. Yeah, we love to hear from different people if they want to perform, if we have that spot. You know, obviously, like I said, we kind of narrowed down some slots this year, made kind of a less is more sort of philosophy this year when we did the reset. But I always like to feature some local acts out there, for sure.
Julie Klinger, Festival Director, this is a year-round event. Do you work on this all year?
Yes,
long?
I do. I'm full-time. And people wonder, well, what do you do all year? Well, I'm already starting to book bands for next year and thinking about that ahead of time because Christian music, like I said, has really taken off. And it's harder and harder to get the bands that you want to get. And also, there's just so many things in planning six stages, and then you've got vendors and you've got arts and stuff and all sorts of activities. So,
Julie, what's if you were going to take 10 minutes to sit down and really enjoy, what would you say is the featured times that people want to make sure they don't miss?
Oh, well, you need to be there by 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon for sure, because main stage, like I said, we're starting later, but we have put the bulk of our funds into those main stage shows from 3 o'clock on. Every single show on main stage at 3 o'clock on will be fabulous, and you won't want to miss those things. And then stay late. You know, I just tell people, come early, stay late, because then you don't have to fight the traffic. We'll show some movies out there. We got the late night dance parties. We got late night acoustic stuff and the 360 going on. There's stuff to do until 1-2 o'clock in the morning, easy out there. And then you don't have to fight the traffic. So if you can come a little later, like 3 o'clock instead of noon, then you can stay later, right? So, except church is at noon on Sunday, so you have to be there early on Sunday.
Pick up just to make sure, maybe some suntan lotion.
Bug spray, suntan lotion, sunglasses, chairs. You want your chairs or your tarps. And, you know, we try to encourage people to take their stuff every night if they can, because we're just not responsible if some stuff gets stolen. If you leave it out there, I guess that's at your own risk, but we try not to have people like permanently stake things in the ground so people don't trip over those things. We do have a shade tent area in the back of the field. Those things are all available. I think those are the top things I would recommend people really think about. And we have a store out there. Lifelight has a store. So if you happen to forget something, we usually have some of those items at the store.
Well,
so
Lifelight is one word.
Yes. Capital L, capital L.
Yes. And they can Google it.
Yes.
It'll come up and they can get all the information.
Lifelight.org. Just that easy.
You got the website.
Right.
And if they, like I say, now, where do they get these tickets that they can pay forward? Where do they get
And let me I'll talk about a couple other changes too. They're going to find when they go to our website. But we also have an app. So if they have a smartphone, you can just go to the app store and type in Lifelight. And you will get our app, which has all of our schedules. You can get your tickets through there. We have a new VIP fun zone seating area. So for people who don't want to haul in their chairs and stuff like that and just want a guaranteed spot to sit, this is right in front of the stage. You can look at buying those chairs online as well. We also have a parking pass fundraiser if you want to park closer, come through a private entrance and not go through the main gate where the tickets are. You can do that as well. So, and then camping, obviously, is still open and will be open day of. We take in last minute people all the time into the dry camping area where we don't have power, but people come and just kind of rough it. So
you'll see buses of all kinds.
Yes, we do. Lots of buses.
It's like I say, just going out there to see the crowd is such an interesting thing, because you'll see old buses, new buses, campers,
double-decker buses.
double-decker buses. Yeah. Julie Klinger, Festival Director, Lifelight. We'll have Al come up here next month and talk to him some more. But what a great time to be when we have all of this music and all of this activity. Sioux Falls is a great place to be.
Yes, thank you so much. I really enjoyed being here today with you.
Thank you for being with us on Forum.